With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. Shelter to Soldier brings combat veterans together with rescue dogs to help both recover and move forward. Shelter to Soldier trains these rescue dogs to become service dogs for veterans suffering from PTSD and other psychological injuries. Joining us this morning is Shelter to Soldier founder, president, and training director, Graham Bloom. Welcome, Graham.
Good morning, Gary. Thanks for having me here.
You are the founder, president, and training director at Shelter to Soldier. When did you first start the organization?
We started the organization in October of 2012, so we're still 6 years young.
Tell us a little bit about the organization, a little background info.
Yeah, I've been training dogs in the community about 18 years. Huge passion for helping rescue homeless dogs, also for working service dogs. And I had the pleasure of helping, volunteering my time to train some dogs that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan that were basically strays on the streets. And working to rehabilitate those dogs at the time for their Marine handlers made me realize the bond that not just people have with dogs, but that our service members were creating with the dogs. And taking the passion of being a dog trainer, pairing it with my experience with these guys, and then hearing more about the need really is the big reason why we had to birth and create Shelter to Soldier.
So the motivation behind it?
Motivation behind it is that dogs are incredibly intelligent. They have a capacity to give and help in so many different ways. And we're losing, on average, 3,200 dogs to euthanasia a day in our nation. And a lot of these dogs are going to make wonderful pets, but some of them have a higher purpose and will make great working dogs. The second motivation, which was absolutely stunning, and I did not know the tragic statistic, that we are losing, on average, 22 veterans a day to suicide. And when I learned of that, and I already knew the statistics on the dog side, being in the rescue world for years prior, and then I got a chance personally to work with some veterans and their pet dogs in that capacity. And then I'd also trained some service dogs to help individuals and saw the difference that they made. It started to make complete sense that we had to pair these together. And the last piece of the puzzle really was I lost a good friend to suicide, and he was a civilian, but it hit me really hard. And the time in my life where this happened, I didn't understand mental health, and I didn't understand suicide or the why, and I started learning and researching. And in doing so, it opened up my mind and my heart to want to help more. So my wife and I, as well as our treasurer, Chris Holk, we just sat down and we said, we've got to do something. We talked back and forth. Should we do a sanctuary? Should we do a rehab program for dogs? And it just kept coming back to two lives, veterans that need our support, and homeless dogs that need a purpose and a forever home. And now we've got Shelter to Soldier.
Now, are you military yourself? Are you a vet?
No, so I'm a civilian. And truth be told, I have a little bit of guilt that I didn't serve. And so this is my turn and my time to serve and my way to give back now.
And judging from the way you're talking, you are a dog lover.
Huge dog lover. My biggest passion outside of my family is dogs. So I'm the guy that'll go to the end of the earth to help them and, you know, never leave one behind. So, yeah, dog lover through and through.
So what's the mission at Shelter to Soldier?
Our mission is twofold. Saving lives two at a time is our tagline. And we adopt dogs from local shelters and rescue groups all over Southern California. Those dogs go through a training program that typically ranges 9 to 14 months long for the dog. And then following that, we match them with approved applicants that go through a vetting process. And then those applicants go through handling training. So start to finish, our dogs are taking about 18 months.
And you provide service dogs then, train service dogs for post 9/11 combat veterans, right?
That's correct. So OEF, OIF, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, post 9/11 combat veterans, if they served in conflicts prior, in addition to those conflicts, those applicants can be accepted into the program.
Now, I've seen you, I've read that you are the recipient of several awards, including the Waggy Award for Animal Welfare, American Red Cross Real Heroes Award, 10 News Leadership Award, and the Honeywell Life Safety Award. Now, are all these for your work with Shelter to Soldier?
Yeah, those awards are related to the work that we're doing at Shelter to Soldier. You know, I'm lucky to be the voice of the mission, and without our team behind me, I wouldn't have ever been able to receive these awards. But it really is a testament to the work that we're doing in the community, that it's working, it's helping people, the community's noticing, and they're providing the recognition. And those awards help us create additional platforms of fundraising and trust behind what we do at Shelter to Soldier, which ultimately helps us save more dogs and help more veterans.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Honeywell Life Safety Award, you were given that award by Larry King, right?
Yeah, Larry King presented that award. It was a video, and I didn't know what it was going to look like, and I sat down in this giant auditorium, and they clicked play. And, you know, a minute and a half of Larry King talking about the work that we do and the passion that I've got, and then presented a Honeywell Life Safety Award. It was one of the highlights for sure of my life and for the mission. Again, it was wonderful recognition for the program.
Yeah, that's got to be so cool to have Larry King give you that.
It was pretty special, and I got really emotional watching it because, you know, a charity, anyone out there that's running a nonprofit, especially when it has to do with animals and our nation's veterans, it's an emotional topic. And when I saw and heard the presentation, I mean, I got overcame with emotions, and you know, the tears started streaming because it's truly blood, sweat, and tears that we put into the program, and the whole team does. And when you see it being recognized and understood by people, it just makes you feel like you're on the right path, and that was a really important moment for us.
Yeah, recognition like that is incredible for you personally and for your organization.
It is. Thank you. Yes, it's super. It's very rewarding, and you know, it fills your cup. It's tireless work. You got to keep at it, and when you have those moments, your cup gets full, and you're ready to take on the next day and help more people.
You mentioned that you adopt dogs from local shelters here in Southern California. How often do you go out and adopt these dogs?
So as often as we possibly can, but we don't commit to dogs until we have funding for the dogs. And so what that means is we either need to gather sponsorship or grant funding to make sure that we've got the funds in the account to provide the needed care and training. When that happens, you know, right now we're at an all-time high. We've got 24, nearly by next week, 25 dogs in for training. Just in the last 8 to 10 weeks, we've adopted 7 new dogs. So, you know, on average, 2 to 3 dogs a month would be average, but we've been lucky lately to be able to bring in some new kiddos.
Now, I've had other service dog organizations on the show before. What breed do you consider to be the best to train as a service dog?
So for me, because I've been in the rescue world, and we're not necessarily, you know, working with one specific breed, we have the ability to work with any breed provided they have the right temperament and drive for this job. And I can tell you truthfully that I've had a pit bull be as good and as on point and as incredible at its job as one of my chocolate Labrador graduates. So for us, it's about matching the dog to the personality. And so if I had the question of what breed would be perfect for this person, I might have a more direct answer. But for our program and what we do, it really is just the right dog, not so much the breed.
And what about age range of the dogs that you adopt?
We're adopting dogs ages 4 months to a year and a half. You know, there's less of a need to help the 8-week-old puppies. They're highly adoptable, and they come out of the shelters and rescues pretty quick. Also, they take longer to mature. And then anything over a year and a half, our program's 18 months. We don't want to be placing dogs that are, you know, getting on the upper end of age that won't have a strong, long working life ahead of them.
What about weight? Is there a certain weight that you look for too?
There is. Weight range has been more about demand and what the requests are. So we've been typically between 40 and 65 pounds. To date, we have only had one request for a small dog, and that was for an emotional support dog, not a service dog. The folks coming to us, their biggest piece of the puzzle that they're trying to fulfill in their life is increased sense of safety for the most part. And so they're looking for a medium to large breed dog that can provide that sense of security. We also teach deep compression therapy and pressure therapy where the dogs are applying body weight and comforting their handlers. And we found that the medium to larger dogs are providing more of that comfort at their size. So 40 to 65 pounds, give or take, is the average that we're looking for.
And temperament, very important when it comes to training a service dog. What do you look for? And do you look for these things before you adopt the dog?
Absolutely. So every single dog that we bring into the program goes through a very thorough behavior evaluation on site at either adoption event or at the shelter or rescue. And we're looking for dogs that are typically moderate energy level, moderate drive. So we don't necessarily need an incredibly high drive dog that's going to do dock diving or police canine work. But we also don't want a couch potato because the work drive has to be enough to make sure that the dog wants to work. We're testing for food drive, toy drive, tolerance to noise, different footing and flooring underneath them. We do approach with strangers, tolerance to being stepped around and stepped over. They need to be social and have a strong social drive or a desire to interact with people so that they have the desire to want to bond and befriend their handler and be engaged. They can't have any aggression. They can't have any intense fear or phobias of any sort. So environmentally sound dogs that need a job in a nutshell. But even once we've selected them on site and taking them into our program, our dogs go through a secondary evaluation phase where they're evaluated at 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. And at 90 days, they're either going to continue forward in our program as a service dog in training, or they're going to be a career change dog and move into emotional support or a pet dog because they couldn't provide the needed work or didn't have what it takes to make a good working service dog.
So when you run into that situation, because not all dogs make the grade, can't all be a service dog, even though their breed may be known for that, do you then adopt them out?
We do. So the first step is with career change is we're almost always going to look to an emotional support dog first, so a level down from a service dog, and also to a veteran applicant. We have applicants that don't quite meet the need for a service dog medically, or their recommendation from their medical provider is one of an emotional support dog rather than a service dog. So those career change dogs are perfect. We call them that because they're not failures. We've still adopted them. We've helped them find purpose. We've given them a baseline training, and they're going to go on to live a wonderful life of purpose with someone, but they just couldn't be a service dog. Secondarily, if they can't be an emotional support dog, then we're looking for a pet dog home. And those are either going to veterans or active duty. And also, if we don't find the right match for that particular dog in the military sector with active duty or veterans, then we're looking at a civilian home. The end goal is to make sure that the dog finds a loving, stable environment if they don't make it in our program.
Yeah, find a forever home.
You got it.
Now going back to the training, do the dogs that you train, do they go out like on field trips so that they get to deal with the environment and people all around them?
Absolutely. Our dogs start on site with exposure. We've got a service dog task room. We've got many things that we initially expose them to on site to prepare them for the real life. And then we start our outings, our public access training. And that includes going to local stores and establishments that have different flooring, machines, people, so many different variations so that they can get used to it. Public transportation, we've used the airport shuttles, trains, you know, taxi cabs, Ubers, grocery stores, everything that we know that these dogs are going to encounter, we want to prepare them for.
Yeah, theme parks are great for that too.
Absolutely.
A lot of people.
Lots of theme parks in Southern California that are willing and very graciously work with us. And yes, the goals of our applicants, especially those that we're serving, they haven't been able to go out to these theme parks, either on their own or with their families because of their symptoms. And so these service dogs are giving them the ability and providing them the support to be able to do so. So they want to know that their dog can not only cope in that environment, but thrive in that environment.
And the dogs that you train, you're training them to be psychiatric service dogs, right?
We are. So we're considering these dogs level one psychiatric service dogs as our baseline. That's the primary need we're fulfilling because that's where the lack of funding and resources lies. However, we will train dual purpose dogs. So if we have someone that has a secondary need, like mobility assistance for retrieval or balance support, we will add that service in as well.
Okay, and you've kind of touched on some of the things that you train them for, but what else are you training these psychiatric service dogs? What are you training them to do?
Yeah, a lot of the task work has to do specifically with, we train a baseline of specific tasks, but once the handler is matched with the dog, that's where we would introduce more specific tasks to meet that specific individual's needs. Those can be creating a space boundary between the handler and other people in public. So our dogs are trained on a cue that's called behind. And imagine being in a grocery store and wanting eyes in the back of your head. The recipients that we're serving want that and need that. They had their brothers and sisters on deployment covering their six and watching their back. Now our dogs can actually do that. They have a watch command where they go through the legs and watch their back, or they can do a full behind where they're creating an actual space boundary. So the dog becomes like a bubble. If there's someone to their right that's crowding them, the dog does a right. If they're in the front, they do a block. If they're on the left, it's a heel. If they're behind, it's behind. And it creates a space bubble. We teach compression therapy where the dog is applying pressure to calm anxiety and stress, nightmare assists in waking up handlers from night terrors and nightmares. We've had recipients explain their nightmares or night terrors as something like a nightmare in Dolby 3D. It feels very real and very real life. And even when your eyes are open and awake, they're telling us that they can't decipher reality from the dream. Our dogs are interrupting those. Getting upset on the road, a form of road rage. We've had men and women that have been in Humvee, you know, deployments, and they're in convoy and they've been a victim of IED, improvised explosive device, or some sort of a car bomb explosion. So for them, getting stuck on the five in traffic could become more of a real life situation where there's a sense of panic and the dog can be trained to help bring them back to the now and the present. We have dogs trained to do house sweeps and room sweeps. So you get home late at night, the house is dark, the lights aren't on, nervous to enter the home, but the dog can make you feel more comfortable by letting you know it's all clear. So, you know, your dog becomes your brother or sister in arms, essentially, that's there to support you in those areas to be your eyes and ears and comfort. They are providing a sense of safety and security, but without showing or being aggressive. So it's a position and it's a stance, but it's a non-aggressive one. And it's almost always, in our experience, been enough to create that necessary space and that clear message to people around them. Hey, my dog's well-trained and I need this. Lots of behavior disruption from anxiety, stress, self-mutilation, you know, whether it's someone who's picking at their skin or creating some sort of bad habit that's created from stress and anxiety, the dogs can actually interrupt these behaviors. So the list goes on, but the common core psychiatric service cues are mostly within those that I've listed.
So how much does it cost the recipient for a service dog?
Through our program, I'm thankful to say that it costs the recipient $0, absolutely nothing. We are able to donate our dogs thanks to the community, our community partners, donors, and grants.
So there's no fundraising involved on the part of the recipient?
The recipient is not required to raise any funds or do any sort of promotional fundraising for themselves to receive a dog. The only requirements they have is to fulfill the application requirements to become approved. Following that, it's just about us giving to them and supporting their needs.
And handler training, how long is that?
Our handler training is 4 to 6 months, and that entails the initial bonding phase and creating a match, and then building the bond, foundation obedience commands. Then we work into task work. And following that, we've got to get those public access hours in with the handler to make sure that the team can work in real life environments and have the training actually apply to those environments.
What happens if the person you selected is not really a good match for that particular dog? What do you do then?
We would have a conversation with them and let them know that the point of this mission is to help both the dog and the veteran handler move forward and have the support that they need. And if we feel the dog or the handler is better matched or better suited with another dog, then we'll speak up about that. That being said, our matching process is very organic. It's not dog number three is ready to go. So, you know, we don't say, hey, Moose is ready, this is your dog. It actually is the handler coming in once approved, and they're kind of speed dating. We joke and call it speed dating, where they come and meet multiple dogs and they get to know different personalities, and we share with them the good and the bad, their quirks, their energy levels, their lifestyle needs. And from there, we're seeing, is the dog choosing them? Are they choosing the dog? And from our point of view as professionals, is this a good fit? So prior to even calling them a match, we're making sure that they have ample time together, that they're meeting a variation of dogs, and that they're understanding where each dog is at and what their strengths and weaknesses are, as well as what their lifestyle needs are. So very rarely are we going to have to back out of a match commitment, but when it happens, we have the processes available to make sure that it's A-okay.
Are people referred to you?
Our applicants, are majority of them are referred to us by case managers, social workers, neurologists, psychologists, etc., from the VA. So the Veterans Administration, their team members are utilizing us as a local resource to get their patients support.
And I think you mentioned earlier you do some sort of follow-up with the recipient. Do you do a follow-up evaluations with the dogs, too?
We do, yeah. We follow up with our recipients after graduation at 1 week, 4 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and then every 2 years we'll be retesting each dog just to make sure that they're maintaining as a team.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, since you've started the organization, you've expanded your services. You're not just training and placing service dogs with people. You have expanded your services to help veterans on the home front in other ways. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, our primary service is definitely providing service dogs, trained service dogs at no charge. But we found a need within the organization to provide additional care services. So our director of veteran services, Vic Martin, is an actual graduate, and he learned through the program where he could have benefited from additional items. So we have a mental health liaison on our board of directors who's a licensed clinical social worker. He will provide one-on-one counseling to veteran applicants or graduates in need of further assessment or assistance. We have group outings, group training follow-up, just bonding and team-building exercises. And then we have a few therapy dogs deployed, but we'll be launching a more expansive therapy team to be able to provide therapy dogs during the process while we're trying to get applicants approved or waiting for them to match with a dog, so that the wait time for them to get their hands on a dog and experience that comfort isn't as long.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We've realized that the service dogs are one piece of the puzzle, but the family of services and also the amazing community we have here in San Diego and utilizing the resources at our fingertips. So we have pages of wonderful resources for our veterans that if there's something that we don't have or can't provide, someone in the community and one of our partners can. So it's really about comprehensive services and making sure that we answer the call, and then we direct those needs and make sure that our veterans get what they need from the very beginning all the way through graduation as well as post-care.
Now, you have a big event coming up later this year, don't you, in the summer?
Yeah, so we're August 24th. It's our annual gala. It's our big fundraiser. We rely heavily upon this night, of course, to make sure that we can continue our mission. That will be at the Hyatt La Jolla. It's an evening event. It's amazing. There's live music. We have veteran recipients in attendance, typically a guest speaker. We have amazing auction items donated by local businesses. And it's a night to unite people. It's a night to educate those in the community about veterans, what they've done to serve our country and protect our freedoms, and what we need to do to give back. We educate on dog rescue and the need there, and then we raise needed funds to push on and continue our mission. So that's a night that if someone's looking for a great night out and you're going to go out and spend a couple $100 on a nice dinner anyways, come join us. You might as well do it here. The money goes straight back to the cause. And, you know, you might find that one item that you've been looking for, whether it's a trip or a special outing, a piece of artwork, and, you know, you can buy it anywhere. But if you come to the event, you're putting the money back where it's needed.
Do you have other events throughout the year?
We have a lot of community events. We're fortunate to have an event, at least one, almost every weekend, whether it's at a local retail establishment, a partner that's holding an event. We just worked with the San Diego Gulls, our local hockey team. They raised money through calendar sales. So, yeah, there's events going all the time. We have an events tab on our website, and then social media is a great way to keep up on them. But we couldn't run those events without our team and our wonderful volunteers that support those needs. And the reality is, again, community allows us to do what we do.
If somebody wants to help you with your mission, they can't make it to your event in August, they want to make a donation, can they do that at your website?
Yes. So if they visit shelter2soldier.org, there's a donate tab, and on there, there's many ways to give. Whether you're a local company that's looking to sponsor a dog and get behind the mission in a greater way, we allow our sponsors to have name their dogs, to follow the entire journey start to finish. They're able to attend the graduation. So that's a fun piece of the puzzle. The Los Angeles Rams just came on board as a partner, and they're having a naming contest on their social media. So it's now they're having their fans choose their sponsored dog's name.
Oh, cool.
And when you look at that engagement, the idea is it's not just one dog and one veteran. It's many people learning about issues and needs that they didn't know about before. You can also donate one time $5. You can do a reoccurring monthly donation. You can volunteer. There's a volunteer tab to inquire about volunteer opportunities to be at events or to help with the dogs. So there's so many different ways to give. We tell people, at the very least, if you just share it, because if you share the mission, you never know who's going to sit down and read it, and it's going to hit home, and they're going to want to take action. So share.
Website again?
Shelter2soldier.org.
And you are on social media?
Absolutely, at Shelter2Soldier.
All right, Graham, thanks for being on the show today, for all you do for our veterans in our community through Shelter2Soldier.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the time.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Until next time, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.